Quietest meeting in history, because everybody's version is that the other two guys are doctors. that this was engendered as a result of Hunt and Liddy coming to Colson's office and getting Colson to make a phone call to Magruder, and that he, Mitchell, was just not aware that all that happened until Van Shumway brought Liddy into Mitchell's office sometime in June. And that's the first he had knowledge of. It was much later in the conversation,
before the discovery.
I don't know. He didn't. You can listen to it. I've got it taped with you. But in any event, much later, I said that the grand jury felt, or the U.S. attorney felt, that they had John wired. And he said, well, what possible evidence could they have to feel that way? And I said, well, I understand that one version of the facts is that Magruder brought you a memo with a number of targets on it, that you checked off the targets that you wanted. And he said, why, that nothing could be further from the truth than that.
That was John Dean's version.
That's right.
What he said it makes sense.
Right. Then
what Mitchell said to me was that he did not. He said, I checked, I signed off on it.
Then I said they had res jesse by Hunt and Liddy having that conversation, and Liddy saying to Hunt, yes, I know how you don't like this, but we have to do it because Mr. Mitchell insists on it. He said, I never saw Liddy for 5 months, from February to June. I never laid eyes on him. He says, I think Liddy is the source of a lot of my problems here. He's using my name and so forth. So it's very much of a hardline thing. He said, it's going to be very hard, but he said, I have to think of my reputation. He said, I can't let people get away with this kind of thing. And he said, I'm just going to have to defend myself every way I can. He said, obviously, I can't get a fair trial in the city of Washington. By any stretch of the imagination. We'll just have to see how that all comes out. He said, I'm sorry to hear that so much of this is going to come to the White House. He said, certainly not the president's interest to have all this kind of thing come out. He made a great point of the $350,000. He says that his recollection, and he said, you want to check this, because he said, I'm very vague on the facts. But he said, I told him about Strawn. Strawn used to work for him, and I told him that Strawn has to go back and correct from 350 to 328. Well, he said, that wasn't the only evasion of that money. And I said, oh. And he said, no, you'd have to check with John Dean on this. But he said, it's my recollection that Dean had Strawn draw other money out of that fund for payment to these defendants. And I said, well, that's the first I heard of that. I understood that Strawn had gone to Bob and said, what about this fund? And Bob just sent it back to the committee. And that Strawn had taken it to LaRue as representative of the committee. And he said, yes, I think that's the way it all went, but not until some of it had been tapped for the defendants. And I said,
the defense was not known to anybody over here. It was
whoever received it. I said, was that before the money got to LaRue? And he said, yes, I'm sure it was. And I said, well, who would know about that? Because I've never heard that before. And he said, well, I think Dean would know that. So, 328 is wrong too. Well, if Mitchell was to be believed, that's right. That's the inference. But you don't know of any other withdrawal, do you?
Well, I told you. The 328 was not returned to one third.
But it all went to LaRue.
But no, one third of it, you did it twice.
Yeah.
Here's the sequence of it. We wanted to get the money back to the committee. The committee wouldn't take it. Mitchell wouldn't let LaRue take it. I said, give it all back. We desperate for money. Was being desperate for money, took it back, I think it was $40,000. That's all they would take. I still say, take it all back, not just, and the point that I didn't see what the problem was, if they needed money, if we wanted to get rid of the money, it seemed to me there was a mutual interest in working it out. And that then was what happened. The balance, if they had $40,000, they could want to get them, whatever.
Better be clear that you can give it all in one bunch.
Right.
There's strong discussion about it, apparently, getting a whole bunch of
that's wrong.
No, he wasn't asked that. He was never asked.
Just playing better is not wrong.
Good.
Now, John kept referring to the, kept using the phrase, protecting the rights of people. One of the ways that he used that phrase was in response to my question about what he thought I ought to do with the information that I had collected in the last several weeks. And he said, you have to first of all consider the rights of the individual. I said, yes. Same time, here's the president sitting here now with a body of hearsay, it's not absolute knowledge. My inclination is to give it to findings. And he thought about that a while. And he said, yes, I guess that's the best thing you could do. I said, now you should know that findings just said that if you in any way get the crack in this case, he is going to step aside. This whole case. And I said, I understand. And Andrew Peterson also wrote M. Kelly. And I said, the thing Kleinias is pushing for is a special prosecutor. John said, that would be a great mistake because it would be subversive of the orderly process of justice. If every time you have an important case, you try to put together an ad hoc process,
why would they say the present prosecutor is going to want to kill anyone?
So I said that these two fellows would step aside. He had a very wry smile on his face. He said, well, great to have friends, isn't it? He said, especially the way we stuck by them. Meaning the ITD business, I assume, because of the language. So that was an interesting little aside. He said, I would be very grateful if you would all kind of keep me posted. And I said, fine. He knew that we were talking to Jackie Rose. I told no decision that I made about a special counsel, but that we were inclined not to appoint a special prosecutor, that you were not inclined to appoint a special counsel. And he thinks it's a good idea to have a special counsel. He suggested that maybe the special counsel should be the one who would talk to Kleinias rather than somebody in the White House staff. So that was his only reaction to that. I told him again that I thought he ought to be represented. And that Paul O'Brien was now part of this grand jury. And that I thought he really had to think about getting representation. That he gave it a lot of thought, but that he didn't think that he would want to make a change yet. He thought he'd wait to see how O'Brien got along.
Which party considers O'Brien to be his attorney?
Right. He asked me how he was involved in what I had heard about the prosecutor's view of Mitchell's involvement in the obstruction of justice system. I said that I really have not been able to find anybody who was an efficient actor who really went to a defendant and said, don't talk or so and so. And he said, well, I really wonder if you ever will, other than their lawyers. Because my impression of this is that they were the ones who were worried about their fees and who were really coming to us rather than for any of us going to them.
he said the thing that he said the thing that we were talking to Dean about. He said, I was pretty worried about what they testified to. I was worried about what they'd say to the press.
He said exactly what he was done.
Yep.
That somehow Dean doesn't see that now.
Well, I'm going to talk to him this morning. Dean Mitchell did not mention Martha at all, or an item phrase. That was just not even in the conversation. I told him that the only way that I knew he was mentioned in so far as the aftermath was concerned was from time to time he would send Dean over saying, hey, we need money for this. And he said, who told you that? That's common knowledge. And Dean, among others, told me that. I said, Dean has not been subpoenaed. He's not testified. And as a matter of fact, the way they are proceeding down there, it looks like they are losing interest in him. I said this to John because I wanted him to be impressed with the fact that we were not doubting. I said that in the course of calling to invite people to come talk to me today, and I indicated there were more than two, that the person who called was told that Dean intended to make their murder intended to make a clean breast of it. And that was first party information and very reliable, and that would tend to begin to unravel the thing from the center in both directions. And he agreed with that. Now he said, which version is it that Magruder's not testified to? Is it the one that he gave Bob and me in Bob's office? Or is it some other version? I said, well, what was the version he gave Bob? Another version? Well, he said, let me tell you what Mitchell said. It was another gig in the White House. He said, in Bob's office, Magruder said that they hauled the plane up over here at the White House.
Your conversation with Mitchell is one where together with him, where Mitchell was very much about the press corps, but Mitchell does very good happens to you.
Mitchell was very, pretty much
whatever his theory is, I'm saying, but one put is drawn off from the White House and want to help him with that bit.
Unless he can peddle a theory that Colson and others were effectively running the committee through Magruder and freezing him out of the operation, which is kind of the storyline he was giving it.
Were you removing any evidence?
Yep.
That I was freezing him out of the operation.
That you, in other words, and he didn't say it baldly or flatly, but you accumulate a whole bunch of things, and it's Colson and Dean and Bob and all of them working with Magruder, and that was sort of the way the line went.
Paul was the White House and rather than his. He's got a possible problem. The word guy is just put it in, and he gets up there and says that it's a hell of a problem. It's a problem for us. No question. But there's no way he can ruin it.
He has a very, very bad crown.
He's always had that crown.
I've never noticed as bad as this. No.
Question is whether you see Magruder or not, and you're now set to see him at 4 o'clock. If we're going to cancel what you do right now.
I see no purpose in seeing him.
particularly like the other one, they always will say about the Josh.
All right. I'm going to say apparently, you could say you look down, but on the other hand, you remember this investigation on the White House, how you're getting better at it, they help. He says, Ron, those are how you help us.
Correct.
Do you think he'd ask him after he would not want to be doing that?
Well, okay. Yeah, once he tells me that he intends to go forward and tell the truth, he has nothing to lose by talking to me. Thank you.
think it would put up a pretty good fight.
I would think so. I would be making a good advice. That's why I'm getting that hard interpretation through a group only there.
Yes, Dean argues that in a conspiracy, such as they're trying to build, they may not have to prove the same kind of animus as some of the participants, but only that they were in it. I would have to read the cases. I just don't know what the law is.
Of course, you've got there with the defendants. I guess
that's right.
I guess that key witness there is Hunt.
Well, it's the defendants, and then it's the defendant's lawyer, Bittman.
Hunt did it.
Now, they're both.
Hunt will testify tomorrow.
My guess is that a fellow like Bittman has probably negotiated immunity for himself and has.
He strongly feels they will get it.
Yeah, I know.
They will.
Will not. But that he's gonna tell about a lot of conversations he had with a lot of people.
Yeah, we know that.
Well, I don't know that, but I know, for instance, that Bittman had a conversation with Colson. That was a watershed conversation. And I know what Colson says about it, but he was brilliant and adroit. Avoided any.
And he says that his recollection of it would be exactly the same as Colson's. His recollection of the specific conversation. But he says that they draw conclusions from it. This is a classic conversation, yes. His conclusion would be telling the president of Robert Thompson.
No.
His conclusion is that he calls will have let out by Christmas. Because you know what kind of pull I am at that point. That's what he would imply by saying,
how does Colson handle that? He says he's got a tape or a wire or a memo or something that says exactly what he said.
It's just a memo. He wrote a memorandum of the conversation immediately after the conversation, which that's all that is at this side of the story.
You know, so this would be the item of Colson. Yeah, Dean seems to think everybody in the place is going to get it right.
No,
well,
you guys are all doing the same thing. What Dean said is looking at the worst possible side of the
test. Well, right.
If you could make a list of everybody who, in some way, is technically indicted in the cover-up operation, and that list includes, in addition to Mitchell, all of them, Irwin, Colson, Dean, but they all discussed it. John, Kalmbach, Gulbenstein, Kalmbach, Storch, LaRue, Martin, O'Brien, Parkinson,
Devin,
Hunt, Charlie. And just if you're wondering who the impossible, he said maybe that proves for everybody on that list to take a guilty plea. Get an immediate
Yeah, Dean's right about that. advice on that. He says, Silver would ask you to wait a minute. He'd step out of the room, he'd come back to get you, and he'd walk you right into the grand jury. He doesn't dare handle a communication like that personally. From the standpoint of the later criticism, he says the better route would be to go to Kleindienst, who will probably step aside and refer you to the dean. The dean, in turn, would say to Henry Peterson, they've done this little investigation over at the White House, they've collected a bunch of hearsay, it doesn't seem to be much new, but they got it there if anybody wants it. Peterson, in turn, would inform Silver, who would say, God, I've got more than I can handle for now. We'll wait and interview that guy later.
Purpose of doing this is what?
Purpose of doing it is to...
The White House conducted its investigation and turned it over to the grand jury.
Turned it over to the Justice Department.
Before the indictment.
Right. I think I'd let him drag it out of me in a way. I don't know. I just really haven't thought that part through.
Because they would say, why did the White House wait for the Justice Department to do over?
Did the White House know is probably the way this would come?
Yes.
We had been at work on this for some time.
President
needed it known.
And I had already had an investigation the night in court.
And that at the time I was ready to report to you my tentative conclusions, and they were no more than that. You felt that they were sufficiently serious that you felt that one overriding aspect of the report was that some people evidently were hanging back, feeling that they were somehow doing the president a favor, that the president had to personally transmit to them his view that this ought to be a complete open thing. That may or may not have played some part in General Gruder's subsequent disclosures to the grand jury. In any event, rather than for us simply to hold the information that we did have in the White House, we turned it over to the Justice Department for whatever disposition they wanted to make.
Thank you. It's perfectly true. I mean, what he's saying is perfectly true. I don't think he did put it together.
Shouldn't throw this part on here, Bob. I'm like,
he knows I did.